Praise God. You can be seated. It is so good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. And all the men said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. We had an awesome time this weekend. And all of you ladies who had husbands or sons or brothers that went to men's conference are blessed. Amen. Because your husband or brother or son was blessed. And everyone that went has come home blessed. And men, are we excited about what God's doing? Amen. Amen. I'm so excited of all that has happened and what is going to be happening. You know, certain things happen in life that you never forget. Those of you that are old enough to remember November 22nd, 1963, when you heard, you know exactly where you were, when you heard that John Kennedy had been assassinated. You know where you were. When Martin Luther King was assassinated. And of course, 15 years ago, you know where you were when the Twin Towers came back. I remember when I got the Holy Ghost. I remember where I was. And if the building was still there, I could take you to the spot in front of the altar where I stood receiving the Holy Ghost after crying and praying for about an hour and a half, 2 hours, because I was stubborn. God just had to get all that out of me. But we had such an awesome time at men's conference the past 2 days, and I am proud of the men of Grace Point. I'm telling you, I think we had 26 total went there. And ladies, they had this section, the first three rows filled up. Not one row, two rows. We had three rows filled up. And when it came to time to worship, I'm telling you what, our men did some worship. And it's that worship there is the same that we're going to be doing here in Grace Point, not just today, but for a long, long time to come. Amen. I want to tell everybody today, you are important in the kingdom of God. And how you worship, when you worship, where you worship, what you do, you are important in the kingdom of God. Amen. Now, I know we have an awesome church. I know we do. But I want everyone to understand today that you are important to Grace Point. No matter what you think about you. Okay? No matter what you think about you, you are important to Grace Point. You're important to the kingdom of God. We've heard several times over the past several weeks, the local ministers have been teaching, have been preaching, and it's just been amazing to me how it's proceeded through the process, through our purpose, and through being anointed, anointed hands, and all that. And it seemed this weekend, all of these truths just seemed to be hammered home to me this weekend. And it's so important for us to realize that we are in a process, that we have a purpose, and we are anointed. Amen. I've found times, though, in my life that I feel I have stepped outside of the process. You ever been there? Wondered, I lost my purpose, or found myself wondering, where in the world is God? Where is the anointing? There's been times in my life like that. And we wonder sometimes where we fit into the church. You ever wondered that? How do I fit into the church? What's my purpose? Listen, just because I don't play a musical instrument, and Sister McGuire can tell you I can't sing, and I can't think of much that I'm good at, doesn't discount my importance to the church. It just doesn't matter. We heard a message this weekend about quit looking at what you can't do and start looking about what you can do in the church. My mom used to say, "Can't never did nothing." Well, can't never did anything. Each of us are important. We're integral to the working of the church. And today I'm hoping to get across to someone, and hopefully more than someone, that you are important everyone in this church is important to the body. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. Today is the season for Grace Point. Lakeland needs Grace Point. And Grace Point needs you and me. Amen. Grace Point, it's time for our purpose to be fulfilled in Lakeland. Some years ago, I mentioned that the church had gone through some dry times, and I may talk about that later a little bit, I don't know. But we went through some dry times, and it was like the canker worm had eaten, and the palmer worm had eaten until the vine was almost dried up. But their scripture that I like to refer to is, God's going to restore the years that the canker worm have eaten and restore the years that the palm worm have eaten. Amen. And so I look at this verse, to everything there is a season. In our lives, we all go through seasons. And there's times that it changes, and just as sure as winter follows summer, hot summers, cold winters, we also experience seasons of ups and downs, of being feeling cold and distant. And sometimes we're just so excited, like up at men's conference. Men, you think it gets hot in here sometimes? I know some of you ladies don't believe that, but sometimes it gets so hot when you're worshiping. It was so hot up there from all the shouting and dancing and jumping up and down. But we go through experiences and seasons in our life, and sometimes we are hot, sometimes we're cold. That's life. Life happens. And understand, life is going to happen. Even churches go through seasons. Like I mentioned, this church has gone through seasons and times. But I've seen times of drought, and I've seen times of refreshing. And sometimes it's circumstances that change the seasons. And sometimes it's the decisions that we make that change the season in our life. But seasons of life come and go. Amen. There have been times in my life, I know I felt like I was in the cold of winter, and I'd come to church and not feel a thing. Everybody shouting, I'm sitting over there saying, well, glad they're happy. Glad somebody feels something. I don't feel a thing. There's been times I felt, and then there's times I felt like I'd run through a troop and leap over a wall. Amen. Sometimes wonder where God was, and others just, God's chasing me all over this place. that's just seasons. That's just seasons. In the natural, I used to like the change of seasons. I like it the fall time. I liked it when the cool weather came and the leaves fell off of the trees and it was harvest time. And there's been times I like the springtime, you know, the refreshing springtime. Sometimes I even like summer. I even liked winter sometimes when I was a kid. I don't much care for those seasons anymore, but I'd like it to be springtime all the time. I beautiful mornings, refreshing afternoons and all that. And spiritually, I'd like to stay in a season of refreshing all the time. I would like to feel that I was in that season of refreshing rather than in that wintertime cold. I'd just like to be in that time of refreshing all the time, but life happens. Life happens, and the seasons of my life change. But understand this. The greatest season that ever happened in my life was the season I received the Holy Ghost. That season of my life changed. I was baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost. That was the experience of the new birth. Everything changed about me. I was not like I used to be. Amen. I was born of water and of the Spirit, and the Bible tells me old things have passed away. That winter of my life had disappeared. It was gone. I now had the springtime of the Holy Ghost in my life. Old things passed away, and all things became new. Amen. The winter of my life turned into spring, and I became a new creature in Christ Jesus. If you've ever received the Holy Ghost, you know what I'm talking about. It just changes things in your life, And after that, you will have still seasons, but there you can go back to that point and say, I know I received the Holy Ghost. You can make me doubt maybe some things in life. You can never make me doubt the power of the Holy Ghost to change your life. You can never make me doubt that I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost that night. I can look back to that point and show you exactly where my life changed, where my seasons changed. Amen. Romans chapter 8 and verse 16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit. Hear me. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Hallelujah. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Don't let the devil tell you you're no good, you're nothing, that you're not important. I'm telling you, you are a child of God, and there is a God in heaven that loves you and is caring for you, and you are worth something in this life. You're worth something in this church. Hallelujah. I'm a child of God. I can throw my shoulders back and say, I know who I am. I am a child of God. Amen. I've been baptized in His name. I'm no longer Virgil Cron. I'm Virgil Cron Jesus. Hallelujah. That's the name that, above every name. That name where every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess. Jesus Christ is my Lord. Hallelujah. Can we understand what that means today? I've been born again. I'm not like I used to be. Amen. We became a child of God. We became heir to the heavenly things. And we become so important in the family of God. He's our Father. How many of you dads would look at your child and say, I don't like you? I sure hope you wouldn't. I look at my kids and I love them so much. I look at my grandkids. Great-grandkids. Love them. If me being flesh can love him or them, her, him, and give them good gifts, how much greater does our Heavenly Father love us and is willing to give us good gifts? Hallelujah. God doesn't look and say, you're not important. Why don't you just go over the side and forget about the church? Just hide in the corner and don't do anything. God would never do that. A good father would never do anything like that. Listen, I have become part of the family of God. He's my Father, and we can sit at the Master's table. We don't have to crawl underneath the table and get the crumbs that falls from the table. We're God's children. Amen. We're His sons. We're His daughters. Amen. And as such, I want to tell you, you have a purpose in your life. You have a purpose in your life, and I want to demonstrate that we all have a purpose in the kingdom of God, and no matter what season of life we're in, each of us is important in the church, in this church, in Grace Point Church. You are important. Sometimes you just wonder, what is my purpose? Have you ever wondered that? Well, trust God. He has a purpose. Sister Nona Freeman one day was working in her house. I believe she was doing the dishes or something, doing around the house. They lived out in the country on an old country road. And one day she was impressed to go out on the front porch and wave. Okay. Out country road, no neighbors. Now, what's the purpose of that? Pretty soon a car drove by. Went by and she said, okay, going in. Several years later, a man came up to her. Said, Sister Freeman, that day, your purpose was to keep me from committing suicide. Why would I just go out and wave? Something happened that day. That man was on his way to blow his brains out. And something happened when he saw Sister Freeman just up there waving. Something changed in his heart. Something happened. He then received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized in Jesus' name. Sometimes we don't necessarily know what our purpose is. But when we do the right thing, make the right choices, we are fulfilling the purpose God has for us. Just making the right decisions, making the right choices, doing the right things. Your purpose today may just be saying a kind word to somebody who's hurting. Someone here may be gripped in sadness in their heart. And just a kind word would make their difference in their lives. Just a hug and say, I love you, brother, I love you, sister. We don't always know. Just speaking encouragement to somebody. I've had that happen to me, feeling down and not just real good. And someone would come up and shake my hand and man, I feel better. They do love me. Yeah? You ever feel unloved? Sure. Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, had laid siege to Samaria. And there was a great famine in the city. It got to the point they were killing their babies and eating their babies. The famine was so severe. And outside of the gate sat four lepers. Lepers were not allowed inside the gates because of the possibility of spreading leprosy. And famine going on inside, don't know what to do. The four lepers looked at one another and said, we need to do something. Well, what can we do? We're lepers. If we go inside the city, they're going to kill us. If we sit here, we're going to die. And if we go to the camp of the Samaritans, they might kill us. But who knows? Maybe they'll give us something to eat. Maybe they'll take pity on us. And so that day, their purpose was to save the city. That day, four lepers who were outcasts, that had nothing to do with anybody, their job was to save, and their purpose was to save the city. They started down toward the camp, and you know the story. It was taught just here recently, and y'all been teaching things that I was going to teach, and I had to change things. But here they went, and God magnified their noise of their footsteps. It made it sound like a great army was coming down against them, and they didn't even jump on their horses and ride away. They just ran. And there they were gone. They got down there, and there was enough food to feed the city. And that day, that city was changed. What's my purpose? Just do the right thing. Go down there to the Samaritans and save the city. There's some, really, that wander through life wondering what their purpose is or why I'm here. I've heard people say that, and I'm not good for anything. But no child of God should ever feel that way. No child of God should ever feel that way. Let the seasons come. Let them go. I'm a child of God, and I'm going to worship Him. As Job said, though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. Our attitude should be like Job's. Through it all, Job never lost his integrity. I'm going to serve God. In the bad times, in the cold times, in the hot times, in the winter times, in the summer times, I'm going to serve God. I'm going to worship God. Hallelujah. Whether it gets hot in here or whether it gets cold in here, I'm going to worship God. If I have to stand and jump up and down just to get warm, I'm going to worship God. If I have to sweat and smell like whatever, I'm going to worship God. Because I'm telling you, He has made me to worship Him. Praise God. Praise God. Now, how we react to our circumstances, our seasons, will oftentimes define who we are. Amen. How we react in the winter time, how we act I'm not working, but this is, okay. Loss of job. What if I lost my job? Lost my home. Job lost it all. What if I lost my car, my bank account? How am I going to react to God during those times? I've got a family. Got family to feed, and here I've lost everything. Amen. Will I continue to be in the house of God? Will I continue to walk through these doors? Will I continue to raise my hands with tears running down my cheeks and worship Him and say, God, You give and You take away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Will I be faithful to Him in those times? How we react in those times are as important as how we react when everything's going good. Man, I've got a job, I've got a home, I've got a car, I've got this and that, and I've got a family and all that. Sorry about you, but I'm doing okay. I want to help you. I want to help you. It's how we react. Oh, man, if I won the lottery, I know what I'd do. I'd buy a house. I'd be a big old house. I'd do this. I'd buy something else. How we react. First of all, I ain't going to buy no lottery ticket, but, you know. Sometimes we want to change our circumstances when what we need to know is our circumstances is trying to change us. Sometimes God will put us in a situation to try and get us to change. And we're saying, no, God, I don't want that circumstance. I want a different season. I'm going to change the season. I'm going to change my circumstance. How I react to the changes in my life might surprise some of us. But how we react in our circumstances will never surprise God. God wasn't surprised at how Job reacted. You're never going to hear God say, oh, I didn't see that coming. Ain't going to happen. God, how we react. I might be surprised. What if Publishers Clearinghouse pulled up in front of my driveway? Man, you earn $7,000 a month for the rest of your life. Whew, I like that. Can you imagine the tithes on that, sis? Whew. Man, I'd just give it all to the church. Well, God already knows what you would do. God already understands what you would do. I'm not too sure that van's going to pull up in front of my house. It would scare me because I don't know what I would do. I think I'd do this and I'd do that. But see, our circumstances really and how we react will define us. Listen, we all want to feel useful, don't we? We all want to feel that we're part of things, that we're wanted, that we have a purpose. And as the children of God, we need to understand that through the process of coming to God, we are anointed to do His purpose. Amen. We're anointed. David's purpose was to keep the sheep, and he was good at it. And his purpose was to protect them. A lion came out, he killed the lion. A bear came out, he killed the bear. His purpose was to take care of those sheep. And the prophet came down and said, Jesse, God's going to anoint one of your sons to be king. So bring him in front of me. He prepared a barbecue and invited them all. David didn't get an invitation. You ever felt like you didn't get an invitation? Why didn't I get an invitation? David just took care of the sheep. That was his purpose. That's what he's supposed to do. Sons came. Prophet said, no, it's none of them. Don't you have any other kids? Oh, yeah, there's David out there. But his job is to watch the sheep. Well, bring him down here. David passed before the prophet and said, oh, this is it. This is it. Your purpose is changing. See, your purpose will not always be the same every day. David, your purpose is changing. You're going to be anointed now to be king. Praise God. David's purpose had changed. The timing was right because there is a time for every purpose under heaven. And I've got to rush on. Since we know the seasons come and go, we really need to understand that the season I'm in now may not be the season I'll be in tomorrow. I'm excited today. I am thrilled about this weekend and the men's conference. I'm looking forward to the second service. I just want, man, I want to get with it. I want to get some worship going on. But I know tomorrow it might be a little bit different. Tomorrow's season might be a little bit different. But to everything there's a season. There's a time to every purpose. And my purpose today may not be the same as tomorrow, but I only know that God has a purpose for me. And I'm praying and hoping that my purpose today will encourage someone to understand you are important in the house of God. We need you in the house of God. God desires you in the house of God. Amen. James chapter 1, verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Amen. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not change. What he was yesterday, he will be tomorrow. What he did yesterday, he will do tomorrow. Amen. What he did yesterday, he will do today. It's you and I that change. He never changes. Amen. It's you and I. I'm in a constantly changing season. I know we had a purpose for me yesterday, and I believe he's going to have a purpose for me today. We live in a world that is so full of trouble, and people don't understand what's going on around them. There's anxiety and fear and doubt and sadness and trouble in this world. And those suffering from depression, it's at an all-time high. Suicide rate has skyrocketed, especially among teenagers. I'm just not worth it. I might as well blow my brains out. I don't fit in anywhere, so I might as well just end it all. But in the midst of all of that, in the midst of all that anxiety and all that turmoil, all that sadness, all that fear, there is the church. Hallelujah. There is the church of Almighty God, and I am so grateful for the church. I am grateful there is a church I can go to in the house, be in the house of God with God's people to enjoy the presence of God and worship Him and glorify Him. I am grateful for Grace Point. Hallelujah. I'm grateful for the McGuires. I'm grateful for everyone that's here. I am so thankful that I know I can come to the house of God and be touched by the presence of God, be touched by the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful. We look at this building and say, thank you, Jesus, for this building. I go to Grace Point Church, but that's not the church. That's the church. You sitting in these pews, you're the church. You're what it's all about. Amen. You're what it is and what it all is for, and you have a purpose. You're like a city, the Bible says, set upon a hill that cannot be hid. But the enemy would desire to invade the peace and the joy of God's people and convince some that they don't have a purpose. I don't know why this has been going on for the last 4 weeks. People have talked about purpose. The ministers have been talking about it. Brother McGuire and different ones have been preaching about it and about the anointing. But they're not worthy of getting anything from God. That's what the devil wants them to think. I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. I just don't belong. I'm useless. We need to understand today that we were born into the kingdom of God and are children of light. And as Ephesians 5 and 8 says, walk as children of light. Let us determine today. Let the seasons come. Let them go. Let the changes come as they must. I will serve the Lord. I will remain faithful, for I am a child of Almighty God. Hallelujah. Now, those of you that have thought recently, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy of God's blessings. Let's get one thing straight. You're not worthy. I wasn't supposed to say that, was I? You're not worthy. That's okay. Let the devil tell you that. That's all right. Amen. None of us are worthy of God's blessings. None of us are worthy of His salvation. That's why he invented grace. Ephesians 2 and 8, Paul said, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, so that anybody could boast. I said enough Hail Marys, I got saved. I helped enough people that God gave me a new house. No. I can't earn His blessings. I can't earn His love. I can't earn His salvation. It's His, and it's freely given gift to you and I. We love Him, the Bible says, because He first loved us. We all deserve punishment for our sins. We all deserve punishment for our sins. According to the Word of God, we deserve the punishment. That's why God invented mercy and forgiveness. Hallelujah. Thank God for mercy. Thank God for forgiveness. He took our sins upon Him and nailed them to the cross. Every sin I have ever committed, He took them and He nailed them to the cross. He said, in Psalms 103, verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. I don't have to answer for that anymore. It's gone. He nailed him to the cross. And we're not worthy of so many things from him. We're not worthy of healing, and yet we receive healing. In fact, last week, some of you may not know, healing came into this building. Sister Martha has had severe crippling arthritis for some time and severe pain. I know she's requested prayer a number of times before service. She was in such pain. Pray for me so that I can at least enjoy the service. And during service, after service, pray. Well, Sunday, we were worshiping. Everybody remember worshiping Sunday? Whew. Awesome service. And she was raising her hand and worshiping, and all of a sudden, I went back to her. I high-fived her. I said, shake my hand. She put a grip on me. I told Brother Sean, I said, hold her hand. Grab her hand. She did. He said, ooh, mama. We don't deserve that. But he loves his children. And he brings healing to those that need healing. There is a line in a song that says, every saint has a past. And every sinner has a future. I'd like to add something to that. Every saint needs to forget the past, and every sinner needs to come on up to the future. Because the future is right now. Your season is now. Your time is right now. Amen. Although we may not be worthy of God's love and all that, we're not worthless. There's a difference. All too often we belittle ourselves and discount our value in the kingdom. And when we begin to discount our value, we limit what God can do. When we think we're useless or we're not good enough, what we're doing, we're putting a discount stamp on our forehead and say, everybody but me. Everybody can be touched but me. Everybody can be healed but me. Everybody can be saved but me. Folks, let's take those discount stickers off. Amen. There's a difference in between feeling unworthy and feeling worthless. Amen. Big difference. Unworthy, yes. Worthless, no. I'm sure if we were be honest today, many of us here have made a derogative comment about ourselves just recently. You ought to hear me on the golf course. I don't cuss. I'll take a swing sometimes and I'll duff it off or end up on the road and I say, oh, Cron, come on, you can do better than that. That's okay. But don't dare do that in the house of God. Don't do that in the house of God. Amen. Amen. Stop putting those discount stickers on our life and realize how valuable we really are in the kingdom of God. Listen, try telling God how worthless you are. Just look up and say, God, I'm worthless. Listen to his answer. I'll tell you what I think about you. You're so valuable, I laid down my royal robes. I stepped out of eternity and into time. I left my throne in heaven, stepped into a sinful world, was beaten, spit upon, crucified to pay the most expensive price that could ever be paid. That's what he thinks. So don't you dare tell him how worthless you are. You are important. You and I cost the life of Almighty God as he walked this earth in the form of Jesus Christ, and he did it willingly. Hebrews 12:1, and I've got to close this quicker than I'd planned. Hebrews 12:1, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. One of the heaviest weights we can carry is the feeling of being worthless. Lay it down. Lay it down, get rid of it. When he forgave us, filled us with his spirit, we became part of his family. Amen. We are so important to him. Jeremiah 29:11, he said, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. You know what? Your end that he expects? That you walk the streets of gold with him. That's what he expects for you. That's your purpose in this life, to live for him, that you might reach that expected end. Praise God. He shows his love to us every day. Just because God hasn't answered my prayer today doesn't mean he won't answer it. Or maybe he's got something better in mind for me. Praise God. Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen. He understood the suffering he would endure, but he did it willingly. Why? For the joy that was set before him. What was the joy? I'll do it. Folks, I tell you what, I feel the power of the Holy Ghost today. And I'm not going to apologize for anything. God desires to reach our hearts and change us. Get us working in the kingdom of God. Get us doing something and quit saying I can't, or I'm not good enough, or I'm not sure anybody would want me. You are wanted. You are desired in the kingdom of God. Amen, amen, amen. Ecclesiastes 3:1 again. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. Amen. You've been anointed for his purpose. This is your season. This is your time. Amen. And I had a whole lot of things here I wanted to talk about, the different areas that God has likened his church to, and I can't get to that. But in closing, let's look at what the wise man had to say about life. Solomon didn't withhold anything from himself. I'm wealthy. I've got so much. Anything I set my eye to, if I like it, I'm going to get it. I'll get me 300 wives, 700 concubines. That right there ought to have told Solomon something, but my goodness. But I like that Cadillac. I'm going to get it. I like that fishing boat. I'm going to get that. Anything he set his eye, he said, I'm going to get it. And he got it because he had the ability to get it. But let's hear the end of the story. What man's purpose? After living his life, he said this in Ecclesiastes 12:13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. Keep his commandments. For this is the whole purpose of the whole duty of man. The whole purpose. Love God. Keep his commandments. Serve him. Rejoice in his presence. Whether you're at home, on the job, or at church, driving down the road, rejoice in his presence. Amen. God bless you. Let's stand. So happy to be in the house of God today.